It is a moment for Dread Champions to arise. It is. It's a moment for Dread Champions to arise. People who are willing to win victories on behalf of other people. It's a moment where the Spirit of God comes on people and clothes them like a glove. Gives them an anointing to blow the trumpet, to call others, to be able to rally to causes. It is a moment for causes. There was a vision that Rick Joyner had several years ago. If you don't know who Rick Joyner is, he's a prophetic guy. He leads a ministry in Fort Mill, South Carolina. He had this vision, and in the vision he saw these masses of young people marching. They're gathered as a mighty army, and they're all gathered under these banners. And like the banner was out front, like a large stick and huge banner hanging off of it. And all of the banners were standing in front of, you know, thousands of people behind them. And people were rallied and aligned with the banners. And he looked at the banners, and the banners were blank. There was nothing written on the banners. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my generation. We're all looking for a cause, and ain't nobody know what we're doing. We're ready to rally at anything. Drop of a hat. Yeah! We're looking for a cause. Like, some of us would be called old souls because we're wanting the 60s again, right? Because you're wanting that rally thing. Something in you actually wants to rally to a cause. And so at anything. And in this dream, or excuse me, in this vision, Rick saw demons come and begin to write on banners. And they were writing a demonic charge on a banner, and the people were rallying to causes that felt righteous but were actually demonic. In the vision, he recognized that we as the people of God also had the same opportunity to go and to write on the banners. Did you know that you as a human being and as a son or daughter of God are supposed to be taking care of the planet? Am I in the right place? I just find it interesting that there was an agenda-oriented cause that got there first, when the people of God have been supposed to be doing this for ages. That you and I, we're called to that same thing, but it's been relegated now to like a liberal cause. Instead, it was always supposed to be the body of Christ. I don't know when we stopped stewarding the planet. I don't know when we did that. But it is time for a righteous banner to be raised up again. We live in a moment of history where there are myriads of thousands of people who are wanting a cause, and they are waiting for the trumpet call of the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about spiritual atmospheres tonight. I want you to talk to you a little bit and just give you a snap picture of how we are as a people supposed to be stewarding the atmospheres that we live under. First of all, I don't know if you know this, but there is a spiritual realm. Can we start there? There's a spiritual realm. There is an unseen realm. Angels and demons, both are real. I'm looking for some agreement at some level here, okay? Please don't make me have to prove that to you. Angels and demons do exist. There is a realm where the light of God that is seen, that is in you, can be seen in this realm, in the spiritual realm. This realm is where emotions and decisions are being influenced from. Your emotions that you experience are being influenced from a hidden realm. The decisions that you make sometimes are based on information that actually came from that realm. Desires, things that you think you desire, desires and thoughts are often originated from this place. Sinful desires, Ephesians 6 says that demons have flaming darts, that literally they shoot a flaming dart. This is what the Apostle Paul painted. The word flaming literally means to burn with passion. That in the demonic, this angelic and demonic realm, that there are weapons of warfare that actually cause people to burn with a desire for something that is not of God. That you can get shot with a flaming dart and it would cause you to think that you desire something sinful and it isn't you. So you think that it's you that wants something, so you start waging your war against you because you think you want that, when in all reality it was some stupid demonic dart that you are supposed to extinguish its passion by faith. You put those flaming darts out by your shield of faith. Are you with me? It works in the positive realm as well. God ideas actually can come from angels. I've had this happen several times in my life where I'm meeting with God, I'm having a quiet time or something, I'm in the Word, and all of a sudden I am like I'm hearing a voice speaking to me. I'm reading the Bible, okay? I'm in the Bible. Just clarifying, in the Bible. I'm in the Bible, and I have a commentary coming into my ear about what I am reading, and it brings forth a revelation of something I never thought of before. That's an angel. That's an angel. I've gotten instructions from angels to do things. So have you. You may not have recognized it, but it's happened. Guarantee. The spiritual atmosphere that this realm exists in, and that exists over people, exists over your home, exists over cities, exists over governments, exists over people groups. This spiritual atmosphere, however, that is something that can be cultivated. It is not something you are subject to. It is something you are supposed to be cultivating. Oh, I live in such a dark neighborhood. Well, why you think you're there? My business is so dark. Well, what the heck has God got you there for then? We're supposed to be cultivating the spiritual atmosphere that we are existing under. A place can be so influenced by heaven that others then who come into that will come under the influence of heaven. There's a story in 1 Kings about Saul, where the prophet Samuel comes to this young man. Now, this young man happens to be a farmer or a shepherd of donkeys. Okay, he's hanging around a bunch of jackasses. And Samuel, the prophet, comes and finds him, anoints him with oil, sets him apart to be king. So this transition is going to be awfully dramatic. But he gives him this word. He says to him, "You're going to go to the hill of God." That's the place where the Philistine garrison is. And when you go to the hill of God, where the enemy has been encamped, which, by the way, you ought to think about sometime, you're going to see some musicians coming down that hill who are actually prophets. See, they're in disguise. They're releasing the song of the Lord in the enemy's camp so that the Lord's hill can be reclaimed. And when they come down that hill, you're going to approach them. And when you approach them, the atmosphere that's over them is going to come on you, and you are going to be changed into a new man. There is an atmosphere that can be cultivated over you that when others come into that atmosphere, they get transformed into the man or the woman that God actually made them to be. That atmosphere is something you cultivate. That is not something that just comes upon you. That is something that you can cultivate. You are responsible for the atmosphere that exists over you. We, as a people, are responsible for the atmosphere that exists over our cities. We, as a people, are responsible for the atmosphere that exists over the church in general, over our region, over our state, over our government. We are not helpless. We have the hope of all creation inside of us. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has anointed your tongue to speak forth. The thing about cultivating atmosphere is that Proverbs 18 says this, Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death exists in the power of the tongue, and those who love its fruit will eat of it. That when you speak, there are no neutral words. It may sound like a strong statement. It is a strong statement. When you speak, there are no neutral words. You are adding to an environment that is either going to be one in which the angels of heaven recognize the mark of God on your life, the anointing, and the angels of heaven hearken to that word and are bringing forth the blessings and the cultivation of heaven, or your words are feeding into a system that brings loss, death, and destruction. And when your words speak on this level, there are other angels, fallen angels, who also recognize the power of your words, because humanity was given the authority to govern the earth. Humanity, sons and daughters, descendants of Adam, were given the authority to govern creation. The earth, the sky, the sea, all subject to people. We were made in God's image, in the image of the one who spoke forth and things were created. That same creative power exists in your tongue. Yeah, that's good. Angels from God are given to minister on behalf of those called to inherit salvation. I'm quoting to you Bible, by the way, if you don't know this. Angels are given the assignment to steward the words that are coming out of your mouth. If you speak life, you will cultivate an atmosphere in which the angels of God are ministering in. If you speak binding words, judgmental words, curses, if you speak in this language, it is the native language of the one who brings loss, death, destruction. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That carries an anointing as well. That causes demons to hang around. That's what causes problems to exist in societies. It's what fuels the emotional rage of the mob. Why do you think in every mob there's someone with a blowhorn? Because it's words that fuel it. Cut the words off and it will dissipate. Cast out the scoffer and contention will cease, Proverbs says. It is your tongue that is creating that atmosphere. It's your tongue. It's our tongue. If the atmosphere of your home is hopeless, shut your trap. Either speak life or don't speak. I'm just an opinionated person. That may be so. But if you continue to air your opinion and your judgment calls, you will bring contention to your world. Because this is what judgment brings. I'm glad you have an opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm an American. Yes, and we have the atmosphere of that right now. Thanks for that. But not under this house. No, we don't do that here. We don't make judgment calls about people. We don't slander people. We don't speak binding or limiting words about people. See, binding and limiting words, these are words that say you always, you never. See, these are words that set ceilings and boundaries for people that don't allow them to express anything different than your expectation of poor behavior. You speak limiting words over someone. You may not call it a curse, because if you called it a curse, you probably wouldn't do it. But that's what it is. You're cursing people. See, that's the stuff that demons come to. Loss, death, destruction. If it's hanging out in your home, then check your tongue. Amen. Amen. Come on. Okay. Spiritual atmospheres are shifted by the words of people. See, when I come into a room and I'm experiencing darkness, I don't give you a commentary of darkness. What you will see me do is I will get up and I will command peace. I will get up and I will release mercy, because I know that sometimes we enter into atmospheres that feel heavy and weighty of condemnation, or people feel like they're stuck and what they're really needing is a way out. And so I have the solution. So if I release the solution, then you get free. You may not even know what happened, but you felt the shift. You're welcome. I know that many of you partner with me in this. This is what prayer is supposed to be, intercession. We stand on behalf of situations that are not going the way they're supposed to go, not going according to God's plan or His Father's will for a situation. So you and I, we partner with our words. And we declare out the will of the Father into situations. Angels hear our prayers, hear our prophecies. They look at the sign of authority that's on your head, 1 Corinthians 11 says, and they carry out those prayers and prophecies. Guys, this is how this works. It's not some euphoric being that you're praying to. You actually are partnering with heavenly allies in order to cultivate the atmosphere that we live under. This is something we're supposed to be proactive in. Please do not be ignorant to these things. Your words are not neutral. I want my children to inherit a city that is governed in peace. Minneapolis and St. Paul is supposed to be a city of refuge. Why you think that there are such problems right now and there's such pain that's being expressed right now? Because that is a work of the devil waged against something that is supposed to be cities of light. Don't fall victim to it. Don't come under it. Don't subject yourself to it. You are from another age. You are a citizen of heaven. You're going to make me preach here. We talk about what witchcraft is. Hey, can I just give you my definition of witchcraft? You may have your own. You know, I don't know what you think of. If you think of Halloween, or what you think of when you think of witchcraft, you know, cauldrons and pointy hats. I don't know. Witchcraft is when a person can be a non-combatant or a combatant. Okay, the difference between a non-combatant and a combatant is someone who's intentionally cultivating atmosphere or someone who is completely clueless. When a person comes under the effects of spiritual atmosphere, that brings loss, death, and destruction. That is witchcraft. See, people intentionally cultivate atmospheres, and they intentionally channel demonic stuff, intentionally trying to bring loss, death, and destruction. Maybe you see that as witchcraft, but what you don't realize is that witchcraft is the atmosphere that limits, that binds, that brings loss, doesn't allow abundance to come into your life. It's binding words from grandpa 3 generations ago that are still existing over your family, and you're still under it, and you don't realize it. You're being limited in your family because of those words. There's a mindset that's been on, you know, your family line. There's a mindset in the town that you grew up in that this is just the way we do things. And so it's been something that's been binding you and keeping you from being able to become something else. And you don't realize it. This is witchcraft. These are binding atmospheres, limiting atmospheres that don't allow the call of God to arise out of your life. Witchcraft. Say it with me. Witchcraft. Okay, it's not a taboo word in the church. It's actually something real. Difference between white witchcraft and black witchcraft. Like the black arts, the dark arts, something that's where a person's intentionally, like a person who is not a believer, who is not anointed by God, is anointed by something else, is intentionally cursing and intentionally trying to bring forth demonic results, okay? Black, occultic witchcraft. Are you with me? You know what white witchcraft is? When anointed people of God use their words to bind other people. When you, as a son or daughter of God, with the sign of God on your head, are using your words to cultivate an atmosphere that attracts demons over people. You do it by judging. You do it by speaking limiting or binding words. And then we pretend like it's prayer group. Or we pretend like we're just sharing information so you can pray. Hogwash. Remember that from Ray Hughes last week? Talk about what hogwash is. You just think about what hogs are wallowing in, and now you got the wash, and now you know what I'm thinking about. Come on. Intercession is to stand before God and declare the opposite spirit of what is bringing loss, death, and destruction. It's who you and I are anointed to be. It's what we're supposed to be doing. We cultivate atmospheres where people who are non-combatants, they don't know. They're neutral people. They're just trying to live life. They're not for you, against you, nothing. They're just trying to live life. Where people, I totally believe this, that people can come under the atmosphere that has been cultivated by heaven. But that a whole city could come under the blessing of God and receive the benefits of the blessing of God because the people of God are releasing blessing and they refuse to curse. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. And by the words of the wicked, a city is brought low. Yeah. This is how this works. Yeah. Now, our nation, it is hanging right there. You got a crazy political race going on. You have a catalytic moment, like this tipping point in every regard. Some moments you think, man, throw a match on that sucker, it's going to go boom. It doesn't even take much. And that tells me it's the moment for Judd Champions to rise. It is the moment for places like this to be such places where we are just speaking forth. I mean, this is why we are so strong on the prophetic. The prophetic being defined like this. You are building people up. You are drawing people near to God, and you are comforting people. If you prophesy in any other vein other than that, you are not under this covering. You are out of bounds. Do not give me the Job word. It's going to get bad, brother, but don't worry. God will turn it around. Hogwash. You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You do not know what spirit you are of, clearly. Amen, Pastor Jamie. Whew. What if you and I, we came here, we came together, we looked at each other and we saw what was best about each other. We called it out. We spoke into situations. We spoke life and hope continually. We did not draw our conclusions towards what could happen in a bad way, but instead we said, what if God stepped into that situation? What then? What if we stood, like I said in that video, and we faced storms instead of running from them? What if we headed into storms intentionally, knowing that you are carriers of the peace of heaven, and that when you speak peace, when you speak peace, demonic structures fall. What if we cultivated an atmosphere so strong in our region and in our state that it would become known as the Catalyst Revival State? Do you understand? Do you understand that racism has to stop someplace? Do you understand that abortion actually can stop someplace? Oh, I got quiet on that one. Do you understand that injustice actually could be a thing we eradicate? Cancer? I know you'll rally to this one. Cancer-free zone. Why not? Why not? Why be subject to this thing as if it's something that has access to all humanity? Why not stand up and say, stop? Why not catch the thief, curve our tongue, and command the thing to go? Are we people of light or not? Breaking the power of witchcraft is actually easy. You just don't agree with it. You release the opposite of what you are experiencing. It's actually, I know it just seems so simple, because it is. You recognize, oh, I'm a believer. I'm a son of God, which means my old nature was put in the grave through baptism. Okay, my sinful nature done away with, which means I no longer have a propensity to sin. You, oh man, you were a sinner saved by grace. You are now a saint. Okay, your nature has changed. Okay, so when you put that mindset on, then when you experience a desire to do something evil, you go, oh, that ain't me. And once you see it, the power is gone. You release the opposite spirit. You don't come subject to the emotion that's attempting to wave. You don't agree with the mob. You're called to change the atmosphere. And it don't take much of us to change an atmosphere. It doesn't. We don't need thousands to go rally in the street. That's not what changes atmospheres. It doesn't. It can just be you, for real. You can do this. You just don't agree with it. The cross of Jesus Christ is the only power that we need to be free from the effects of witchcraft. Now, I'm gonna land this plane because I want us to have some time to minister tonight. Because I feel like that well, we saw this on Thursday. There's a ministry that the Lord is wanting to release among us as the body that breaks the power of generational iniquities. What do I mean by that? I mean ways of thinking and ways of behavior that have shifted somewhere in the DNA of your family that brought you and brought a propensity to agree and enter into behavior that brings demonic results. When you got saved, you got free of all that stuff. The problem is, hold on now. The problem is that some of us return to our vomit. See, you got free from stuff because of the cross of Jesus Christ, but that thinking was never challenged. And so you keep agreeing with demonic stuff. And so you keep realizing and experiencing the patterns that are bringing forth pain in your life. You got freedom, but you're experiencing pain still. Yeah. Am I talking to anybody here? Yeah. How you break free of that is by intentionally bringing repentance towards that. You're going to have to actually repent. Repentance means to change one's mind. You're going to have to stop agreeing with that stuff. Intentional repentance. The only other thing, see, the Jesus' death and resurrection, it broke off all forms of witchcraft over our lives, and we have freedom under heaven because of that. But we come back under witchcraft because of generational patterns, generational iniquities that we chose to continue to align with. Or the second thing is that we speak forth judgments, we speak forth word curses, and we walk in unforgiveness towards others. When you choose to do those things, it also brings forth these patterns over your life, this atmosphere over your life. Now I know that tonight, by the power of the blood, that we're going to break all effects of that stuff off of us. Now, I'm going to ask in just a moment here that we're going to stand to our feet in just a moment here, and we're going to pray, and we're going to release a corporate deliverance over this stuff. And I know that stuff is going to break loose in your life. I do. I know that it is. By the way, just for your own knowledge, or if you're interested at all in historical perspectives, John Kilpatrick, the pastor of Brownsville Assembly of God, credits, he said, when people asked him, why do you think that Brownsville was the church that entered into revival at that time? He said, it's because we learned to curve our tongue. That was it. He said, we learned how to start releasing blessing. It attracted angels, and that's what happened. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to walk you through just some layers of repentance, okay? We're just going to do it corporately. I'm going to give you some generic prayers to pray. I will tell you this, that whenever I feel like I've come under like an atmosphere that's like sluggish, or stuff is just like harder to get done than it normally is, my brain is clouded, or I'm not quite thinking the way that I normally think, I come under some depression, or I think that I'm emotionally not experiencing the life flow of heaven. Anybody ever been there before? These kinds of atmospheres that you come under, where it feels like you're a victim to your own atmosphere. And whenever I come under these atmospheres, I actually have a clear pattern of things that I do, and always, 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 I come out from under it. Always, every time. It's this. First thing I do, I repent of the judgments that I've made. I'm not kidding. I'm like, oh, I was harsh and critical with those people. Lord, I repent of the judgments that I have been speaking out. Judgment begets judgment. It brings conflict to your life. If you don't want to come under that kind of conflict, then repent of judgment. And that might be hard. It might be hard, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. So would you pray with me right now? Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, right now we repent of the judgments that we've made. I repent of the judgments that I've made. I break off judgment. The judgments that I have spoken out, the calls and the criticisms that I have in my own mind, these kind of judgments. Lord, I repent of these things. Forgive me for this. Show. Lord, I break off the effects of my judgments on other people right now. Come on, speak to it. Lord, right now, we repent. Lord, we repent of the limiting and the binding words, Lord, that I have spoken, that you have spoken, Lord, that we have spoken. Come on, just speak it out about yourself. Lord, I repent of the curses I've spoken over people, the words that I've used to bind other people, God. I repent of it right now. I break the power of my limiting words off of people right now. If there's any effect, lingering effect of my words out there, Lord, I just break the power of those things right now. And right now, by the blood of Jesus, we break off other people's judgments over us. Come on, don't be under it. I break off any judgments that other people have had towards me. Any limiting words that have been spoken towards me, whether they're unintentional or intentional, I just break them off right now in Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lord, I break off these limiting words off of me. Whoa. Show. Lord, we release mercy. Lord, we forgive the people who have sinned against us. I forgive those who have sinned against me. Come on, just release that right now. I forgive the people who sinned against me, who've hurt me, who've done me wrong. I forgive them. I release them right now. I release them. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would forgive me for the trespasses that I have, the sin, Lord, that I've committed. Lord, forgive me. Show. Oh. Mercy to you. I release mercy to you. I release mercy to you right now. Come on, breathe the free air of heaven. Breathe the free air of heaven. I release the blessing of the Lord over you. I release the blessing of the Lord over you. The blessing of the Lord over you. The fullness, the abundance of heaven be upon your life. The flow of the Holy Spirit, His holy wind over your minds, over your hearts. His holy fire kindle afresh on your life. His anointing marking you to change atmospheres, to go forth boldly, sons and daughters of light. Whoa. Lord, we receive that tonight. Whoa. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Let your spirit fill each person. Let your spirit fill each person. Lord, let your spirit fill each one. Oh. Every weapon of warfare that has been fashioned against you by the blood of Jesus, I right now, I break it right now. Every demonic thing that has been raised up against your life, I break it now in Jesus' name. By the power of the Lord, by the power of the blood, I break every curse that has come upon your life. I break generational curses now in Jesus' name. Patterns of iniquity be broken now in Jesus' name. Demonic diseases, right now, by the blood of Jesus, we break your power. You do not have authority. We command sickness and disease to go now in Jesus' name. You will not kill. You will not cause loss. You will not bring destruction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to close with this. James 5 says this, if there is any of you who are sick, you should call the elders. The elders will lay hands on you, will anoint you with oil. And that prayer that's offered in faith, if you're sick, it'll raise you up. And if there was any sin, it'll be forgiven you. Now, sometimes, the reason that passage of scripture is there is because sometimes we need help coming into the fullness of what Jesus has for us on our own. The reason that the Lord actually put elders in the church was that there would be an authority that we could come to because we're subjected to it, that we could come to, that there would be a greater authority, that there would be a holy agreement that could break the power of things that you are not able to be free of on your own for whatever reason. And that's what that passage of scripture is meaning. It's speaking to. And so tonight, after this time, I'm going to close here in just a moment. And the elders, though, they're going to come up here with me, and we're going to lay hands on anyone who feels stuck. You're unable to move forward. There's going to be altar workers as well. You know, others who are going to be praying and ministering, and you're always free in this house to minister to one another as long as you are ministering life. Amen? But if you feel like you've been stuck, you feel like you've been under something, you just can't break free, there's a disease that's stuck to you, and for whatever reason, you can't break free, the elders and I are going to lay hands on you tonight. We're going to anoint with the oil, and we're going to decree this thing done. Okay, if there's been patterns of iniquity, things that for whatever reason you have not been able to break free of, we want to lay hands on you. Now, the power of God is going to fall on people tonight. Okay, don't be put off by that. Okay, come drink from the river. It's good. Okay, but the river is everywhere. You are welcome to participate. You're welcome to be ministering to each other, loving on each other, going for it. You don't need to wait in line for the special speaker to pray for you. Okay, but if you're stuck under something, then you need the authority that is placed on the church corporately. And that same authority is represented in the elders of this church. Are you with me? Okay, so if you want help or you're looking for that, then we will be here. We'll love to minister to you. I'm going to ask, if you just want to talk to us, I'm asking that this right now is not the time. I love it when you tell me, hey, good word, pastor, thanks so much. You agreed with my quiet time. Awesome. I love that. Okay, but that's not the moment right now. Right now is the moment for ministry. We're going to minister, and we're going to see the river of God flowing in this house because revival is actually here. It's really here. Okay, we have all the effects of any outpouring in history. It happens here on a regular basis. Okay, but we are going to be intentionally going after these things tonight. Are you with me? Okay, I want to release the blessing of the Lord over us corporately. I'm going to dismiss you. Go get your kids before you get ministry and bring them in here if you're going to receive ministry. You want to hang out. You're welcome to stay as long as you want tonight because I'm going to go home and someone else has got to lock up. Okay. So, Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for the free air of heaven. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the liberty that you brought through your death, your resurrection. I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives are set free, that people will enter into fullness tonight. Now, Lord, I release the blessing of the Lord on this people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May His countenance of peace be lifted up upon you, that you would live your life under this kingdom of peace. I declare these things now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Come on. Come on. Come on, give a shout of praise tonight.